The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From policy to culture, principles to politics, this is the Seth Leibson Show.
Well, welcome back as we head into hour two. I am Seth Leibson. Mr. Bill, thank you for everything, helping out a little bit. A lot of it. I gave you a stink eye a few minutes ago. You're okay with it? You didn't return it with a crook eye, because who did that? The Van Buren boys with Kramer, if I'm not mistaken, right? The crook eye versus the stink eye and the Van Buren boys. It was a vicious club that operated by the principles of venerating Martin Van Buren, if I'm not mistaken. Yes? Do I have that close to right?
And you better know their handshake.
Yeah, right. The handshake. Welcome back. I don't know exactly what to do with this except be disgusted. On CNN yesterday, I'm going to put in a good word for a host at CNN, Abby Phillip, used to write for Politico. Abby Phillip hosted Cornel West and Melina Abdullah. Cornel West is the professor at Princeton. He is running as an independent for president. And Melina Abdullah, Dr. Melina Abdullah, it's important that she have doctor in front of her name, as I suppose it is for Cornel West, as I suppose it is for Jill Biden. Dr. Melina Abdullah is his recently announced vice presidential running mate for the presidency. And Abby Phillip had them both on CNN. Now, one might ask what the value of CNN putting psychopaths on TV is, but Dr. West is a very famous man in his own right. I wonder if he's more famous than Ralph Nader was. Probably not, but close. I just think about that in relationship to Ralph Nader's run for the presidency in 2000. Anyway, very well-known professor of African-American studies and kind of a superstar in his own right. He's been an actor in movies. He's cut rap. He's a different kind of person who is a Marxist and vicious, and I think psychopathic if you look at his history and a report that was recently done on him. Melina Abdullah may be worse, his running mate. First of all, the name is interesting. And the basis of this interview was both Cornel West and Melina Abdullah said that Hamas should not return Israel's hostages, presumably either the American hostages, of which there are five. So I looked up Melina Abdullah. I was just curious what her background is. She was born Melina Rachel Ryman. Now, that's not an Arabic name like Melina Abdullah is. That's a Jewish name. And sure enough, she was born into a Jewish family. And somewhere along the line became not, and is the head of the Black Lives Matter chapter of Los Angeles. I suppose that's what attracted Cornel West to her, plus her insanity and her Marxism. But I'm always curious about, you know, people born into a certain community that they betray. The spokesman for Al-Qaeda in the early aughts was Adam Gadan. Adam Gadan was the son of a prominent Jewish physician in Los Angeles. And he, of course, was tragically absorbed into Al-Qaeda leadership and, of course, was killed as a member and leader and leading spokesman of Al-Qaeda. Anyway, I want you to hear what a psychopath or two sound like, and I want you to hear a fairly good word about Abby Phillip of CNN, who's interviewing Cornel West and Melina Abdullah. I want you to know this sentiment runs deep in the left.
A lot of issues on the table here in this election. Yes. One of the biggest ones right now is what's going on in Gaza, the war over there. I know that you both support a ceasefire there. The latest reporting.
Not just ceasefire.
Look at that. He has to interrupt right away. Don't say I support a ceasefire.
Occupation under the siege of Palestine.
But can I just ask you specifically about where we stand here today? Hamas, according to CNN's reporting, cannot assure Israel that it has 40 living hostages that are women, that are ill, that are elderly, out of the more than 100 that are still believed to be in Gaza. If they cannot do that, they don't know where they are, perhaps they can't guarantee that they are still alive, should Hamas immediately release all of the hostages in exchange for a ceasefire that is desperately needed by the people of Gaza?
No, well, we've got to look at the situation from the vantage point of the least of these, the 25th chapter of Matthew. There's 15,000 Palestinian children who've been murdered.
That's all the more reason why there ought to be a ceasefire.
Now, someone is very elusive with the language like that. They're going to be loose on everything else. 15,000 children have been murdered. That's from the Hamas Ministry of Health. They've just revised down their numbers. Everyone was throwing around the number 33,000. They've just revised that down by about 11,000, by the way. Murdered. That is not murder. And a professor of philosophy and history should know that a wartime civilian death is not murder. Murder has a very specific definition. So too does war. But let us go on. It is interesting, is it not, to think of the least of these. I suppose if you want to apply the New Testament to a fight over the Quran and the Old Testament, go right ahead, Dr. West. But let's not forget who the least of these are. Do you really want to compare Arab states to the Jewish state? Because it's 22 to 1. Do you really want to compare the Muslim population to the Jewish population? Do you know how many Jews are in the world today? About 20 million. All right. Anyway, he may have everything wrong here, but nonetheless, he persists.
It is possible for there to be a ceasefire tomorrow if Hamas would release all the hostages in their possession immediately. Should they not do that?
No, the IDF is not going to ceasefire just for releasing. They themselves have to stop the
bombing.
That's the deal
that is on the table. And Hamas themselves say, they can't assure them that each life is precious.
Israeli or Palestinian, whatever, but it's the Palestinian lives that are being lost. We've got to start there. That's been part of the problem with Biden. That's been part of the problem with Schumer. They don't look at the situation from the vantage point of those who are suffering the most. They look at
It does sound like you will not say that if Hamas were to just release the hostages in exchange for a ceasefire, that they should do that.
I'm saying that Netanyahu is not trustworthy.
Okay, so you do understand this long and wending answer is to say that Hamas should not release the hostages. Should not release the hostages. What kind of psychopath doesn't think that hostages should be released? Better, what kind of psychopath thinks that you should start a war, a war of terrorism, and be able to take hostages and not have as a condition for the cessation of the reprisal the release of those hostages? Hostage negotiation is the essence of a lot of criminal law as much as international law. And he wants to talk about the 70 years prior to October 7th. Well, I can talk 70 years, too. I'm happy to debate it. What is not debatable is what took place on October 7th and that there are innocent hostages being held. There are children. There are children in Hamas's hands who have never known a day of their life outside of being in Hamas captivity. And he can't bring himself to think that it is A, awful that Hamas cannot validate that they have 40 hostages to release anymore. It's not that they went missing, by the way. It's that they went dead. Or B, that they should be released. I want to spend a little bit more time with this. I just want you to hear the psychopathy of the left. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. I'm just running through the sociopathology of Dr. Cornel West and Dr. Malina Abdullah, his running mate, on CNN last night with Abby Phillip. Praise to Abby Phillip for keeping the focus and keeping the clarity moral. It's not hard. Seemingly, it has become difficult for the pseudo-sophisticates, which Cornel West and Abdullah are, Dr. Abdullah are. And all this mumbo-jumbo to deny that Hamas has an obligation to return hostages. You'll hear a little more. We'll go through it.
The IDF has engaged in terrorizing the Palestinians, and terrorizing anybody is wrong, but the terrorism that they are doing reaches the point of the crime of genocide. So for me, they have to stop the
There's no responsibility in your mind for Hamas to
Hamas has responsibility, of course. They're part of the Palestinian community, and the Palestinian community has their own agreements and disagreements, but Hamas is not the culprit at all. It's the IDF and their terrorism.
Hamas is not the culprit. And by the way, the genocide point. We've been through this a lot. But with the new numbers that we now have in this war, we now have about a one-to-one ratio of civilian to armed personnel death, a one-to-one ratio between civilian and combatant death. The average in the world is 1-9. Israel has it at 1-1. This is not genocide. Anyone who wanted to commit genocide could do a 1-9, could do a 1-19, could do a 1-900, could do a 1-9,000. This is a 1-1 ratio, as surgically, especially in an urban series of areas, you can have. The genocide is a lie as much as murder is a lie. But anyway, on we press with the sociopath.
I want to go to Dr. Abdullah on this because in the early days, just after this war began, shortly after October 7th, the Black Lives Matter chapter of Los Angeles, it's an organization that you founded and spent some time in, I believe, at that time, it wrote this on social media. When a people have been subject to decades of apartheid and unimaginable violence, their resistance must not be condemned, but understood as a desperate act of self-defense. That sounds like a defense of Hamas.
Yes, that was
Is that what it was?
By the way, I should say that Abby Phillip, the interviewer here, is the female, is an African-American female. It's important, and you'll see why I mention that in a moment.
That was a statement that was released not just by Black Lives Matter Los Angeles, but Black Lives Matter Grassroots, which is all 33 on-the-ground chapters of Black Lives Matter. And we released it October 9th, which was 2 days after October 7th.
So do
we
you agree with
that statement, recognizing...
Do you agree with that sentiment?
Absolutely. I think it's really important to understand where uprisings come from, even when we may disagree with tactics that are used. This did not...
We may disagree with tactics that are used. We may disagree with rape as a method of war and with immolation of family members as a method of, social change?
Begin on October 7th. This began 75 years ago with the Nakba.
Okay, there it is, the Nakba. The Nakba, 75 years ago. This is where it all began for them. Do you know what the Nakba means, Mr. Bill? The Nakba in Arabic means the catastrophe. Do you know what the catastrophe is to them 75 years ago? The founding of Israel. That is what they call the independence of Israel of 1948. By the way, where there was a Palestinian state, two Arab states were offered. One accepted the Jews, one rejected the Arabs, the Palestinians, if you will. They refer to it to this day, as Rashida Tlaib does, as the Nakba, the tragedy, the catastrophe. How do you have a negotiation or a two-state solution or a peaceful solution with a leadership and a people that calls your very existence a catastrophe. If I were forced to work with you against my will and called you a catastrophe, a walking tragedy of a human being, how easily would our relationship, how long would our relationship possibly last? And maybe I would be the one who would be reprimanded for calling you a tragedy or a catastrophe. Likely I would be. Appropriately I would be. So anyway, this is where it all starts. The very founding of Israel, the very existence of this one Jewish state. Remember, we care about the least of these, supposedly. This very existence of this one state amongst 22 Arab states, including a majority Palestinian state of Jordan, 75% of which the population is Palestinian, governed by an imperialist and colonialist power, the House of the Husseins, the Hashemites. These are important asterisks.
And so to understand just one piece of what's happening gives us a complete lack of understanding. So we have to understand this, yes, as a desperate act. And how do we get to peace is to end the occupation. How do
the
we
occupation
get to peace
to them is all of
demand
Israel. All of
a free Palestine.
A free Palestine.
So Dr. Abdullah, let me ask you plainly, do you condemn what Hamas did on October 7th?
Well, I find it really troubling that we're constantly asked to condemn Hamas. I'm not a member of Hamas. Why would I be asked to condemn Hamas?
She's not a member of Israel either. She seems to have no problem condemning Israel. Do you have to be a member of a group to condemn them? Usually people are a little more reticent to condemn their own group. I suppose Black Lives Matters has no business condemning police because they're not members of the police force.
I'm not a member of Hamas, and I don't find it troubling or difficult at all to say that what happened on October 7th was abhorrent. So I'm wondering if you would be able to say the same.
I find it even more troubling that an entire state has been built on the genocide of a people.
Right. The genocide of a people whose population has increased five times since the founding of Israel, and the genocide of a people that sits in the Justice Department, the Supreme Court, Parliament, equal political and civil rights, where people flee to Israel from the Palestinian territories. And by people, I mean Palestinian Arabs when they need to exercise individual and human rights that they are not allowed in Gaza, anything from abortion to gay or an LGBTQ rights.
And I think that we have to start with that first.
I want to ask this question of both of you, but I'll start with you, Dr. West. Mm-hmm. I noted just in doing some research to prepare for this, you both used the phrase from the river to the sea. This is being used generally by a lot of pro-Palestinian protesters, but it's viewed by Jewish people and pretty widely as a call for the extermination of the state of Israel. Do you believe that the state of Israel should exist?
Well, I have marched with many precious Jewish brothers and sisters who've used the same slogan.
Yep. The same slogan, from the river to the sea, which means no Israel. And if he wants to consider Dr. Malina Abdullah one of those Jewish sisters, he can do so. She would qualify. You can find sociopaths in every group. One might even call upon Karl Marx. I just wanted you to know what sociopaths on the left sound like and what Cornel West and Malina Abdullah's candidacy seems to want to justify. Massive, gross violence. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. George Kaloff is the managing partner at the Resolute Group, and he is the president of Data Orbital. He checks in with us on a regular basis to do all things politics and elections. Delighted to be able to have him with us today. George, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Always good to be on, Seth.
Anything big politically this week in Arizona?
No, it was a quiet week in Arizona politics. Yeah.
My gosh, not only was it not quiet. The Supreme Court of the state of Arizona produced a decision that not only I think will affect almost every race in Arizona, almost every state and district-wide race, but it also got the attention of the President of the United States, who has been weighing in on it, which doesn't happen too terribly much. The legislature is going through a bunch of throws on this, as are other organizations. Give us just the lay of the landscape. What happened as a result, and then we can talk about what may happen as a result.
Yeah. So the Supreme Court decided on a matter of law which abortion law that Arizona has is going to stand, right? It did not make a decision on, I know you've talked a lot about this week, Seth, it did not make a decision on the substance, on do they support or oppose, are they upholding or not upholding abortion. It was just about what law is the correct law to enforce, and they made a decision from a legal perspective that the correct law was the law that was on the books before the decision for Roe came down.
As a matter of statutory interpretation, there were two conflicting laws, one that was signed by Governor Ducey two years ago, and one that had been in play but suspended because of Roe versus Wade since before
exactly.
Roe. Okay, go ahead. So they decided the older law was the statutorily. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, so they decided that law was the law of the land. And then since then, and as I know all listeners have paid attention to and have seen, there was a tremendous amount of immediate commentary on it. Commentary, of course, from Democrats on the left. Commentary, of course, from Republicans. Commentary from those that do support abortion rights, don't support abortion rights. And immediately the temperature was dialed up, and it has been everything that many of us in the industry can do to dial the temperature back down, because nothing good comes from this level of intensity, because I don't even want to call it passion. It's you know, obviously we saw what happened on the floor there on the House. It's anger. It's a level of intensity that is not even remotely productive. And then decisions and commentary is being made and accusations are being lobbed. And so, you know, now the question is, can we dial the temperature down and then proceed accordingly? And obviously there's many thoughts and opinions about how to proceed, but at a minimum, can we proceed with the temperature dialed down versus proceeding with things remaining as intense as they have been for the better part of this week?
George, thank you for that overview. As I have it in my own head, I see four camps here, and I would love if you would weigh in on whether I'm being too generous or too ingenerous, too stinting, I suppose would be the right word. The first camp, the four camps that have been at fever pitch since the decision that you described. Camp one would be those who agree with the pre-Roe law and want to keep that as the law in Arizona. Camp two, mostly also speaking within the Republican Party, but not exclusively. Camp two would be those who actually think that the better law would be the one Governor Ducey, or something like the one Governor Ducey signed in 2022, I think it was. Am I right about that? It was 2022? I think it was 2022. I think it was.
It was 20.
Well, okay. Anyway, a couple years ago. And okay, so there's the group that thinks that would be the better law. I think there's a third group that may or may not agree with the merits of the pre-Roe law, and may or may not agree with the merits of the Ducey-signed legislation, but thinks that we should go with something like the Ducey-signed legislation because it is more politically viable going into November. And then I think there's a fourth group that hasn't been talked about, and maybe this was a short segment, we can bring this up on the other side with a longer segment. And I think it's a fourth group, and I think it's Democrats or liberal or pro-choice people that actually want this pre-Roe law because it gives them a cudgel and a weapon going into an election to campaign on. Maybe you can review those four camps, add or take away from them on the other side of this break. Would that be fair, George?
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. George Kaloff, political consultant with the Resolute Group, and Data Orbital is my guest. I outlined four groups that I think are at play and at each other's throats at various levels, George. Republicans or pro-lifers who believe in the pre-Roe law, those that think something more like the Ducey signed legislation, a 15-week law, a third that might fall anywhere on that scale in between or on one of those two, who think you still have to go with a 15-week law because of political viability going into November. And then I think I'm postulating that there is a substantial number of Democrats who were very happy to see this happen because it gives them a cudgel. Feel free to say anything about any of that or add or take away from my categories.
Yeah, no, I mean, in general, I think those groupings make sense. I think there's probably additional groups. I think the one, and you and I have had some discussion about this, and I've talked to a number of folks on it. I don't know that fourth group, how big or not big it is. I suppose we'll see if someone does, and I'll kind of share why someone does put forward a repeal of that, the pre-roll law, and then what do they do?
Yeah.
I don't know if, on one hand, there's been commentary on social media from Democrat elected officials that have kind of been signaling that, hey, we're not going to politically bail you out. That's their words, right?
Okay.
We're not going to politically bail you out.
So that's getting close
on
to
the other
thought.
Hand, though,
yeah.
On the other hand, though, the Democratic governor of Arizona is, you know, it's usually the case, is the de facto leader of the Democratic Party, right? In the same way that, you know, Republican governor is the de facto leader of the Republican Party.
Yep.
And she has sent signals from what you could tell publicly that, like, hey, I want this law repealed, and so send me a bill.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, and if she is very clearly indicating that she would sign something like this, that doesn't mean that every Democrat has to rank and file vote in the way that she is suggesting. But it probably makes it more likely that defections are going to be minimal. Now, the numbers, though, for a repeal, for those proponents that want to see the pre-roll law repealed, the margins are very thin. Essentially, every single Democrat has to vote, and then you need two additional Democrats in the state Senate, and you need three in the state House, only because the Democrats are one short because Representative Quinones resigned about a week and a half ago. And so you need two and three versus usually you'd need two and two. And so the margins are very small. And obviously, every Democrat that you lose, you need an additional Republican. And so that's why I think that fourth group, I don't know how big it is. There is probably a level of prevalence there because politics is politics.
Yeah, sure.
And so that causes you to then make, and very clearly, as we've seen, it causes you to make decisions and say things and do things that you have otherwise never said or believed, seemingly, for political purposes.
Yeah.
And we know very clearly that that's happening right now in Arizona.
On that point, with Governor Hobbs saying that she wants to see the pre-Roe law overturned, we shouldn't be under the thought that she would sign something less than that, like a 15-week law, should we? I mean, she's not going to do that.
Yeah, I don't think so. If the question were, this is why sort of it depends on the specific question and why I've been arguing that I think defections on the Democratic side are going to be minimal. If the question were, are we expecting the Democrats and the Democratic governor to affirm any ban on abortion, right? So to say 15 weeks, I think the answer is unequivocally they would not.
Right.
It would be an easier political sell.
Right.
But what is being asked of them in the removal of the pre-roll law is you're not affirming what would replace it. That's already on the books. What you're affirming is, do you support or oppose keeping this on the books? So banning abortion at conception except to save the life of the mother. That's what is in question with the pre-roll law. And that's why I believe it's more difficult for them to say, no, I am going to not vote against that ban, if that makes sense. So, yeah, I don't think we can expect any vote or movement to say, I want any amount, you know, I want abortions, but only up until this point. I don't think they'd go along with that. But because the question is just on the pre-roll law, I think it makes it much more politically dangerous for them to oppose that repeal.
No one in the country knows more about the polling on this question than you do, the question of abortion. What is polling? What is the public opinion? What is the sense of public opinion in Arizona on something like a 15-week rape, incest, life of mother law?
On a 15-week, a majority of Arizonans, actually close to 60% of them, would support something of that fashion. I think, look, the polling on abortion and pro-life laws are very, very nuanced, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
And our society today and the media don't like nuance for obvious reasons, because nuance is gray and they like black and white, because black and white allow you to wedge people against one another.
Yeah.
But it is nuance. And what I mean by that is that absolutely and unequivocally, whether someone is willing to admit it or not, the polling shows that a majority of people do not want. Arizonans and even Americans do not want to allow abortion, definitely not past 24, for sure not up until birth, and that the inflection point in Arizona is 15 weeks.
Why?
It is also,
go ahead. Sorry. You keep going. Sorry.
It is also true that, that there's not a majority of Arizonans that support not allowing abortions at the point of conception. But those two things have to live sort of simultaneously.
Yeah.
You know, there's been polling that shows, oh, well, there's only 10% of Arizonans that, that don't want abortion at all. That number is higher than that. But then they never talk about the inverse, which is that a majority of Arizonans also don't want. They want some limitation on abortions. There's many pro-choices in the research that we've done that select that limitation at the heartbeat, which is about 6 to 8 weeks, which is very different than what you would think the media and how the media portrays pro-choice.
Yeah, absolutely. George, so if majority sentiment is on something like a 15-week restriction with exceptions for rape and life of mom, life of the mom, the mother, why are we, as generally pro-life Republicans, why are we struggling? Why? I guess the way to put it is, why wouldn't the governor want to sign that piece of legislation? I guess because it's violating their conscience. I guess.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. From both sides, right? So if you're a Democrat and this is your belief system and it's very intense, as we have seen, then you signing something like that would affirm that at some point women should no longer have the choice. So
can we go to war on this? I mean, political warfare, campaign. Yeah. Can we campaign on this very point? Is it strong enough that we can say, are you kidding me? 15 weeks, 60% of Arizonans want this. Do we have the wherewithal to do that? Is it that strong?
Potentially. The question, though, is that, look, abortion after the decision that overturned Roe versus Wade, the Dobbs decision, abortion became a top issue to a certain degree.
Yeah.
And then it came back down within a matter of months.
Okay.
So, again, it still still holds true, other than in these next number of weeks, that the number one issue in Arizona is immigration. Number two is the economy. And so maybe the question is not, do we have the wherewithal? Is that do people have the desire to debate on this issue?
Yeah.
I think that there's definitely pockets on the left that do.
Yeah.
The right obviously does not.
Yeah.
But the general public, does this become a dominant enough issue to affect November? And that's where I've been saying to people, dial down the hysteria, because we're in April.
Yep.
November is 7 months away, and there's a lot that's going to happen and a lot of nuance that has to be unpacked district by district between now and November 5th.
Quickly, I have only a few seconds left. Do you think this pre-Roe law will still be in effect come the end of next week?
I mean, technically right now it's not. The court has put a stay on it.
Yeah.
I would assume, based on what I'm hearing, that there's enough momentum at the state legislature if, with what we're talking about, that the majority actually know that if every Democrat votes to repeal it and the governor chooses to sign it, that law would be overturned.
All right. George Kaloff, as always, thank you. Bless you. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Seth.
Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, portions of which are brought to you by our dear friends at YRefi. InvestYRefi.com. That's invest, the letter Y, then refy.com, or give them a call at 888-YREFI-24, 888-YREFI-24. Why? Because YREFI has a secure investment in a collateralized portfolio where you can earn up to a 10.25% fixed rate of return, and it's not correlated to the stock market or the Federal Reserve. With YREFI, you have flexibility and you are in control. You can turn your income on or off. You can compound it, whatever you choose. There is no attack on principal if you ever need your money back, and there are absolutely no fees with YREFI. Of course, you get a monthly statement with no surprises. YREFI is headquartered here locally. You can visit them. They're happy to see you. They're right on Chauncey Lane in North Phoenix. I've been there any number of times. You won't be asked to sign a thing or get a sales pitch from them. They leave that to me. You can also call them, as I said, at 888-YREFI-24 or check them out online at investyrefi.com. I want to put a finer point on what George said, and I think I can say it without fear of his contradiction, although he may be a little more... I may be too certain. Let me put it that way. I may be too certain. But I will predict that the state legislature will eliminate one way or the other the pre-Roe law on abortion that the Supreme Court of Arizona earlier this week said was the law of the state, and that the legislature must clarify a different law or something else if they want a different law or something else. And my prediction is when we have our show a week from today, that that pre-Roe law will be gone, and that some of these cauldrons that are boiling are right to be a boil. This is important stuff that goes to the soul, of course, of the human, but of our community and our state as well. For those that want to say Ronald Reagan, party of Ronald Reagan, doesn't get involved in this stuff, it's hogwash. Hogwash. He wrote a book in office on abortion. I will give the end of the hour the last paragraph of that book. Abraham Lincoln recognized that we could not survive as a free land when some men could decide that others were not fit to be free and should therefore be slaves. Likewise, we cannot survive as a free nation when some men decide that others are not fit to live and should be abandoned to abortion or infanticide. My administration is dedicated to the preservation of America as a free land, and there is no cause more important for preserving that freedom than affirming the transcendent right to life of all human beings, the right without which no other rights have any meaning. Ronald Reagan, Republican. Ronald Reagan. Be right back.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.